Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Look, didn't bother putting the UGG boots on and had to walk through some wet grass to get to my car. I don't know where these rains come from. It can piss off. But other than that, I'm brilliant. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Just chilling. I've only got one more work day left, which makes me very happy. Going to see a gig on Thursday night, and I just thought I'd take the Friday off because why not?
Yeah, beautiful.
Three-day weekend for me. Pretty excited.
Yeah, nice. Living that life.
Yeah, exactly. Did you catch any of the footy on the weekend?
Yeah, I did actually. Watched a little bit. I haven't watched much this season. It's easy to trail off as a St. Kilda supporter. But, you know, the Thursday night caught me off guard. Didn't really watch much of that. But then caught the GWS Sydney game. That was huge. And then also... I backed in Hawthorn over the Doggies, and yeah, it was good to see them get it done. Who are you backing in?
I don't know. I think it's a bit of a weird year where it could be anyone's race, and then for some reason that just makes me think Geelong will win, which I won't be very happy about. How about you?
Yeah, it is weird. It does feel wide open. I think we're always quick to write off the qualifying final losers. That being said, Port Adelaide were really bad, and I can see Hawthorn getting it done again, which would be nice. But speaking of qualifying losers, I kind of want NC GWS getting it done this year.
Yep, I could get around that. I have no real strong feelings either way about GWS, and most of the feelings I have for everyone else still in it are pretty negative. An Essendon supporter, with no final wins in 20 years, you find good reasons to not like all the teams. So I have no genuine beef with GWS yet, so I can get around that.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't imagine a Essendon supporter backing in Hawthorn.
If they're like year two of a rebuild and they win a flag, I might have to stop watching football. That would be very heartbreaking.
Speaking of that, I'm a chance to get into American football this year.
Oh, please do. I would love for you to do that. It's the best. It is kind of bad, but it's good. I very much enjoy it.
I think I'm a bad omen though. So in the background, since Madden days on the PlayStation, I've always been a bit of a Green Bay fan. And I chuck on the tally Saturday morning. I was like, oh, sweet. Green Bay, I think they'll play in the Ravens maybe.
No, I was like, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll give this a bit of a watch. And our quarterback does his knee.
No way. I mean, how did I miss that?
Yeah, Ty Love's done like an MCL or something. And I only watched the last half an hour, and that's when he did it.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, they had to bring on QB2 for one last play. And QB2 didn't even throw the ball. I'm like, well, this is shit.
They just paid him a lot of money too. They signed him to a big long-term contract. So there you go. Just don't watch any of my Ravens games then. You stick to your Green Bay shit. You stay away from my boys. all right, we got a bit of news sent in from a Melbourne insider. I won't name their names. It wasn't Jeff, I can tell you that. But we got the inside word that Ash Wiedner's first ace a few weeks back, he was not in the ace club for that. So $0. And then because Alex Ritchie cleared it out at Ruffy Lake, Ash got about $57 for his second ace. So Alex Ritchie's rolling in about $500 per ace, and Ash is averaging about $30 per ace. It's all about timing, people, and getting in the ace club. So that was just a nice little tidbit of information that was sent in by someone high up in the Melbourne organization. So we're reaching good people.
Keeping us in the loop. Ouch.
Ouch. All right, we had a ratings updates, and I am keen to check out who we've got now in the best players in Australia. Who's on the top of our leaderboard? What are we looking at?
Look, I've had a bit of a peruse, and I don't think it's moved around much. on that that top 20 list. So Dylan Feldman, unchanged, 1,007. David Perry, unchanged, 1,005. And I just need to confirm, but I'm pretty sure, yep, Alex Canaston, unchanged, 992. So really at the top end, there's just been not much happening, which is, yeah, I mean, it's just a bit of the flavor, unless you're Alan Brunsting. There's just not been any, I guess, big majors on this month. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's been a bit of a weird time for this golf. A bit happened in Melbourne, though, so there's been a few changes there. And one guy, I'm a bit shattered. I thought for sure he'd make the front page, but we can't seem to filter out I guess we can just do MPO, can't we? No, we can't. Just to maybe get rid of the Pro 40 and like the double ups. But yeah, if we go Mix Pro Open only, and then filter by rating, you will see right down the bottom, new entrant, I think, onto the leaderboard. That is Ryan Hart. He's ticked over into the 960s. Well, up to 960. And Ryan Deere as well. So the cute little Ryan pairing is both in the 960 club for the first time.
I love that. Well played by you.
Mm. His father may have messaged me.
getting that to work out like that. There you go. There you go. I did notice Tim Bowen, Mr. Upward Trajectory himself, has finally taken a chop and has pegged back a couple. So that is not not his – that's off-brand. That's off-brand for Tim.
Yeah.
I expect to see a plus one, but we didn't see a plus one. I think it was a minus three for him this month, but I'm sure he'll bounce back.
Mm, definitely. I guess this makes Ryan Deere, Melbourne's – and I'm not counting Dave Perry – Melbourne's highest rated player.
And you're not counting Ruben Berg?
Oh, I missed it. Oh, of course, big Rubes. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, you got a little bit of climbing to do there, young Deeros.
He does, he does.
all right, I had a look at a few names when I was perusing the Invalid Open stuff to see what else was going on. I couldn't help but notice my name. Just had a quick look at that, and I jumped up a cool 5 points, which has got to be my biggest move up or down in a long time, I think. Gets me up to 924, and that is my new highest ever round rating. So I'm pretty excited.
That you should be. I'm assuming Invalid got counted?
It did.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
It did. Yeah, so, yeah, new high for me. Things are on the up. I'm almost like a genuine MA1 player now. I'm getting pretty close.
You are. You really are. I mean, you're constantly getting top fours in MA1. You are you are pretty genuine MA1 player.
Well, I had to have a quick look at Penn, and he jumped up a couple to 920, but still behind me, so eat shit, Penn. And then some other names that I thought might be making moves. I clicked on to Tim Ware, up a big 4 points to 918. So Timmy on a tear, Ware making some moves for sure. Who else I saw? I feel like I saw someone had
Matt Hill up 12.
That is the one I looked at. Matt Hill with a big jump. Well, back into the 950s, right?
Correct. 952.
That's, yeah, a bit of foreshadowing for things to come when we go through the results, but yeah, he's looking good again. Chris Hart as well, 922. It's his new highest ever rating. Nath Parrish, who has just been good lately. Have you noticed that? He's just been good lately.
He's been pretty solid, yeah. I have
noticed. So he's up four as well. He's to 928. He's very close to the 930 club. And yeah, looking good for a few people. Who did I think was going to have a big jump but didn't? I don't know. I can't remember now. Any names standing out to you at all?
No, not really. Just having a quick peruse of our lovely FPO leaderboard, though. And I believe this is indeed an update, just confirming. Yes, it is. Cassie has gone back to from 896 down to 894, And Huss has been so consistent that even with a rating update, just stayed at 896. And so the new outright highest rated player, highest rated female player in the country is Hussey.
Excellent. Love that. Good job, Huss. Love to see that. All right, let's have a little bit of look at the Invalid scores then. That was the big tournament for the weekend and on the Disc Golf Victoria Tour. I'll give you a bit of a rundown. So we played 27 holes each day, and it was your white 18 plus the new 9 and the gold 18 plus that same new 9 the next day.
And so with the new 9, there wasn't two pads out there. It's just 9 holes.
They are brand new holes. So when you get to hole 4 and you play, you've just thrown your disc into the dam.
Yep.
You then just go, I don't know, 30 meter walk off to the right a little bit, and then new tee pad, bang.
Yep.
New tee sign, new tee pad, and basket concrete into the ground. So 9 new holes, and then the last basket ends up right near the tee pad of hole 5. So you just sort of mosey back into that.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's brand new holes, and it's good.
Just to clarify, there isn't dual pads on these new holes.
No, sorry. No. Yeah, there's not like, every other hole has a red, a white, and a gold.
Yeah.
These just have, as far as I'm aware, the one at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever. Now, I guess they haven't really classified that into anything yet. I feel like they're pushing to get like a full new 18. So I don't know how that'll all integrate, but for now, this is what we got. And the new holes were good. I feel like the 4s and 5s were like golds and the 3s were whites with a bit of a mix in. So I'll try to do my best to remember, but hole 5 where you started, and I got to start both my rounds there, which was pretty good. Hole 5 is a par 4, and it was, I think, a lot similar vibe to what gold hole 1 is. So you have a bit of a tunnel-y type shot. It's mostly like a righty backhand hyzer, but you can't go too crazy. There's a mando tree sort of at the end of this thing. So you need to, the mando tree is probably like 90-95-ish, and you want to be sort of just coming in front of it and then going just past it. And that'll give you like a tunnel, another 100 meter sort of low punchy shot, reminiscent to like hole 18 at Ballarat Blue. Similar vibe if you place it right, but if you're a little left, a little right, then it doesn't quite work out. But if you can sort of punch out far right or far left, then you've got a, you know, hyzer in, whether it be backhand or forehand. Tough, very tough hole, and easy to get yourself into trouble. Very easy to miss the mando if you throw too straight. But gettable is how I'll describe it.
Sure.
Hole 6, par 3. Why am I forgetting these back-to-back par 3s? Bang, bang. Oh, yeah, just a bit of a, not a nothing hole, but it's hard. It's a very specific low type of shot, backhand hyzer, too far for me. So, like, I kind of throw it out into the open and pitch up. But, similar shot to hole 2 of the golds, if you've got it. Hole 3, I feel like, I'm starting to blend a couple of these in. But the next couple were sort of like shorter, more technical holes. But you sort of really only needed to beat a section and then you could scramble. That's why I feel like the 3s were a lot more on the white vibe. And then we get into hole 8, and hole 8's very tricky. I bogeyed it both times. It's gettable, like it's not that long, but you're starting off on the right. You're not even really in the fairway, I don't think. It's sort of like, you're sort of in the rough with some trees, but they don't really factor in. But you're throwing, like you're facing directly the rough right-hand side of a fairway, a golf fairway. So you need to be aiming sort of to the left of that. And it makes you want to throw more of a turnover than you should. or a too much of a hyzery forehand than you should, and you end up stuffing it in the right and you're just cooked. But if you can get something out sort of just straight, you've got another pretty long shot to a guarded green. But yeah, you're more likely to get yourself into trouble off the tee and then a bit of a scramble boy from there. And the green's got like a big tree directly where you want to throw, and then OB on the right and a big acacia bush stopping kind of just the standard hyzer play. So it's tough. Tough but gettable.
Fun fact, yeah. Hole 8 in MPO was one of the easiest holes, round 2. It actually comes up as the easiest hole, round 2 for the MPO field.
I can see that. So like I said, I struggle with it, but I feel like if you have a strong forehand, you could just chop that in 2. If you're not going to go crazy, you just chop into the 2 good forehands. That'd be the best way to attack it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it killed a lot of chumps because we're trying to throw all kinds of crazy shit. And it was all straight headwind at that. So it was tough.
Yeah.
Hole 9, I would love to see. Do you have the hole 9 stats for the MPO field?
Yep.
Was there a single birdie?
Round 2, there was not. Round 1, there was not. There was no birdies on hole 9.
It is impossible for me to birdie. So I don't think there's any holes on the gold 18 I would say is impossible for me to birdie. But this on the hole 9 is. So it's basically, if you take the fairway from hole 7, the long par 5 on the gold,
mm-hmm.
Tuck the basket off onto the right so that your approaching almost certainly has to be a forehand, and move the tee pad back 40 meters or something, and tuck that off into the right so that you can't just throw like a normal straight backhand out, and that's this hole. Like, it's impossible. I can't do it. Everyone just throws like a forehand off the tee for placement. I threw my rolo because you have a bit of space out on the left, but I don't even think you have a good play to throw like a big backhand turnover. It's literally just the forehand out, and then you've just got to throw. If you from there throw 3 dead straight 90 meter shots, then you have a putt for par. Yeah. Other than that, like, I don't know. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I bogeyed it both times. A par was like big time for the MA1 boys. So yeah, not sure about that. Yeah, tough. Hole 10, I can't remember for some reason. Hole 11 was a really cool island. I actually quite liked it. Hole 10 was a par 4. What is that I'm forgetting? Hole 10 is actually a really good hole, actually. Sorry. Similar to the one I said for hole 5, but you don't start with kind of a straight shot. You're throwing from the open into the trees to land in like a good spot in the trees to give you a good placement for your second shot.
Yeah,
I like it. I think that's quite a good hole. Hole 11 was fun. It was that peanut-shaped island. I'm not sure if you saw the map at all.
No, I didn't.
But it was like a 90 meter buzz, just straight buzz if you got it. And then there's one sort of tree directly guarding it, and a peanut-shaped island. So if you wanted to play short, you could play to the shorter part of it, but if you wanted to go long, it got a little bit more squirrely. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. And anything that wasn't in the island was hazard instead of stupid drop zones. So love that.
That explains the stats. In MPO, you've got this perfect split where 4 out of the 11 got the birdie, and 4 out of the 11 got the bogey, and 3 out of the 11 got the par.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have just had like circles there. It was probably inside circle on the left hand side of the island and 10-11 on the right back. So yeah, they would have had just hit some sort of shallow C2 putts, I think, for their pars.
Yeah.
But no, it was cool. I thought it was a good hole. And then what do we got? 12, par 4, not birdieable. Not birdieable as well by me. I would be surprised if anyone at MPO got that either. Hole 12?
Not round 2 and not round 1 either, no.
Nah, so you have to throw, I think there's some sort of left gap, but you basically have to throw a righty hyzer. There was a big headwind coming at us, but that same hole 9, the wind was a factor on the day, but wouldn't factor at all into me birding this hole. And there's sort of two mandos to sort of keep you honest, I guess, keep you going straight instead of trying to blast out into the golf fairways. Even then, that would be hard. But yeah, you just got to kind of throw a hyzer at this one mando. And then I don't know, like I don't know where you're meant to land to attack the green for your second. So I just try to land in the middle and then hack some other crap up and then get up there again. I took the par in round 2 and it was elation. And the people on my card were so pumped for me. Like, it's a very, very hard hole. I really don't know what the play is like to secure a birdie or to secure a stress-free par. Tough. Very, very tough. And then 13 was just like a little dinker hole. Not quite like 17, like in the golds. We're not that guarded, but yeah, it's pretty, it's just dotted with trees. Not very long. Like I'm throwing a buzz and just hoping I don't hit any sort of thing. If they take out one tree, I feel like then there's a fairway. Like it's pretty close to being a good hole.
Yeah.
And then there was like a wild forehand line hitting a tiny little gap off to the left that Matt Hill went for. And I was like, okay. But yeah, overall it was really cool. Like I said, I think, tough, definitely tough, but not crazy. I went plus 5 through it in the first round and I was pretty disappointed with that. Like I just thought some of them weren't that hard and I missed reasonably easily birdie putt on that island. And then round 2, I went plus 1. I had, basically just hit the putt and bogeyed 8 and 9. So the one, those two weird ones.
Yeah.
And they got the miracle par on 12. But, I don't know. There's stuff that's gettable there for sure. Very invalid. So I think it fit in really, really well. I'm interested to see how they're going to, like, what the overall plan is in the end because 27 holes is a lot,
yeah.
I must say. The first day on the whites, I enjoyed. Like, 27 is my optimal amount. But the next day with the golds, it was tough. It was tough. And, it was tough. That was a lot of holes. So, but, no, cool. And definitely, if you get a chance in your school holidays, you should definitely go check them out. They're well worth a play.
It's on the list.
Excellent. Cool. Should we check some scores then?
Let's do it.
So in MA4, we got a name I don't know. Do you know Liam Berry?
No, I do not. No chance.
Nah. But my boy Lachlan Howe Graham, they're in second. I had a feeling one of them Howe Grahams is going to fire up. And Wayne Govan not too far behind in third place. So, not bad shooting by them.
Yeah, not bad. Ben Hare was in the mix for a little while. Round 1 in particular, he must have started on the back half of the course and he had a couple of birdies. I'm pretty sure he was even when the rest of his field was nowhere near even. I was like, geez, I'm onto one here. But he fell back to the pack.
Have a look at, you're looking at the live score stuff, right? Have a look at round 2. There are, how many people? 8 people in MA4 and there's like 20 pars?
Yeah.
it's rough. That course is rough if you kind of new to disc golf.
The winner by a margin. With plus 28 is obviously going worse than a bogey hole. It goes all the way down to plus 58, which is, worse than a double bogey hole.
Yikes. What about MA3?
Not our tips, I don't believe. Who do we have?
Now, you had Matt Hunter.
Yep.
I had Ryan Miller, who DNF'd.
Oh, he did DNF on you. I told you.
I know. He's a bastard.
Yeah.
But Lee Joy getting it done in pretty convincing fashion. 7 strokes there over Mitchie Evers.
Yeah.
And, Ben Hines not too far behind that. But Max Tatt's there in 4th. Have a look at round 2. He is the only player in the field to get a birdie.
Big.
Big. Very big. Hole 14. What's that? 14 minus 9. No, that's not how that works, is it?
No. It's 115 meter par 3.
I don't know. Hole 5 would have been when we come back to 13. So that's hole... Oh, it must be hole 5.
No, I reckon it's the hole before 5.
Oh, yeah, he's got it on the new 9. Gotcha. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense. That is gettable. Well done there, Maxi boy.
Nah, you're right. It's hole 5.
Yeah, because 4 plus 9 is 13. Yeah. And then hole 5 is 14.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got hole 5. That's a great get.
Yeah.
That's a super good get. I never get that. Well done there, Max. MA2?
This guy's on a charge. He's taken everyone for all they're worth. He slowly got into it, made a few cheeky appearances out at Stony. This is a Stony local, young Juan. And, taken down Kalen by a couple of strokes in MA3 is Juan Rada Cristancho.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sure I got that right.
Nah, he did his work for sure in the whites. So plus 7 on the whites and the new layout is that's good disc golf.
Yeah.
And he was equal there with Dan Frawley, Kalen in equal third with less than desirable start, but it's his first time playing Imbly. So pretty good considering. And then, fairly handy second round for him, for Kalen. But, Juan had done enough and he couldn't claw it back. But have a look at hole 27 on Kalen's scorecard. That is hole 18 on the golds, and that is a birdie.
Love that.
That's the first time he's ever played the hole. It's fucking crazy.
I love that.
That's so impressive. I was big on that. So, well done there, Kalen.
What about our guy Picanti? Is that where he's wanting to finish the event?
I don't think so. But I do know that he did get a nice little prize for that. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but he has a nice little similar to your dead sheep thing that you used to have when you were over in the UK.
Yeah. Yep.
So they have a wooden spoon battle between Picanti and Duncan McIntosh, and it's not who loses out of them. I'm pretty sure it's just if you come last, you get it. Which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, love it.
And I think this is the first time either one of them has taken it out. So Picanti is now the proud owner of the wooden spoon battle. And I think it's cool. More people need to have little separate battles.
Little side hustles.
Yeah. But he was having issues. He messaged me like mid round that he's like working through some form stuff because he's like, I'm out of it. So I'm just trying some shit. I'm like, yeah, Invalid Gold, perfect time to do that. But, yeah, that's going to be one to watch every tournament now, Picanti and Dunk McIntosh. And Dunk played good. So, that wooden spoon might be staying firmly in Picanti's back pocket. He needed Ben Kennedy to not DNF.
Correct.
Because he had him in round 1, but no good.
MA50 we saw coming. Mike van der Linden looks like he took it up to him in round two, matched him score for score. But was not good enough on the whites round one, Mike. Giving away seven strokes on the whites to Carey. And then matched him for the hot score round two, but therefore still just lost by seven in the end.
Yeah, no good. Can't be doing that on the whites and hoping to win. Carey's big forehand, it's been too good. He's going to be climbing up that ADG leaderboard too. My old man's going to have to watch out. But Simon Farrar there in third place was, good to see.
Yeah, definitely.
FA 40, we had Sue Donnelly, very comfortable over Christine Goh. And MA 40, this is where my money was to be made. I had Vito taking on the whole field in my thrower's guarantee, coming down from Queensland, a Woods golfer. Turns out he was staying with the TD, had a nice bed sorted. I was like, this is great. Round one, a few paces off Timmy Ware, but all right, no worries. And round two, Tim Ware just goes whack.
Yeah.
Plus 10 round, it was good enough for 950 rated, and it sure was. Like, it was windy out there. 27 holes out on that layout. It was tough. And, Jason went the other way. So, 12 strokes worse. Glenn Macey sneaks into second, which is the first time I feel like we've said his name all year.
Yeah, true.
But he was out there camping with Owen. Big shout out to Owen. He helped me set up my swag because I have no idea what I'm doing. But, Tim Ware just way too good. With 13 strokes. So, Timmy on a tear Ware is getting it done.
Well done. He's still on that tear. That's 950 golf, buddy, at Inverleaf. It feels sweeter when you play good at Inverleaf. It feels even sweeter.
Yeah, This is the first time I've ever done it, so I can tell you it felt sweet. Georgia Carroll pretty comfortably over Alice Rendell, which we thought might be the case.
Yeah.
And in MA1, he's back. Matt Hill's back. We talked about it before. He's up to 950 something rated again. And keep playing 960 disc golf, 967 event disc golf. He's going to be back up to his 970 where he was before his little hiatus. So it never looked like anyone else. After a few holes into the second round, it was we were all playing for second. He ends up winning by 9 strokes in the end over Benedicto Byrne, Narada there in third, and then myself and Ethan tied for fourth. But it was anyone's game for so long. I was certain I had second spot locked up. But then it didn't quite work out that way. Round one was, I was mostly happy. I went through even on the whites, which is fine, and then plus 5 on the new 9. But, a few of the boys managed to snag a lot more birdies. The new 9 bodied most everyone but Matt, and the other guys just did some work on the whites. Seb had to pull out. I'm not sure why, so he didn't start round two, but he was right there in the mix. Matt Hill just kept it clean for sure. So that took all the rest of us out of it. And I started on hole 5 again. A few good pars, took those couple bogues, got one back with a bird. All of a sudden, I'm like, let's go. We've hit the new. Yeah, we're back on the regular 9. I'm plus 1. Immediately stuff up hole 5. I'm like, yeah, sick. never fear though, 6-7, the 2 par 5s, so take a 5. I get to hole 8. I got a bit lucky. I got a bit greasy all day, I must admit. Got a bit greasy, and I had like a deep straddle putt to that elevated basket. from reasonable distance inside the circle, but not a lot. And I just canned it. I was like, oh, let's go. Like, fucking, what is this golf so easy? And then hole nine, double bogey. Yep. Hole 10, didn't throw it wide enough. Hit the branch that sticks over the dam, drops into the dam. They've got OB now behind the basket instead of just acacia wilderness. So I threw into that off the drop zone and, yeah, tapped in my double bogey. So back-to-back doubles, just, really put in the work, you know?
Good leveler.
Exactly. Steady the ship a little, battling out now for second instead of just the clear favorite. Double bogey on 18 because I hit the first available and then, oh, it was rough. Now I'm starting to worry about this throwers guarantee business with Penn because I had him well covered, but it's starting to slip away. Penn's doing me lots of favors. He's bogeying every hole. Like, he doubled 8-8 as well. But, yeah, bogey one, bogey three. Still looking all right here. Like, just got a clear four up. Penn puts it into the drink. I'm like, oh, how bad could this go then? I square up that tree before the dam and, just have to throw over, you know, I'm just throwing over the dam with a pig. And, of course it just lands, stands, rolls down into the dam. It's like, fuck. So now I've got a putt from the dam's edge, tap in, and I don't know. I just threw it right into the middle and it just came right back out.
Shit.
Luckily, it didn't roll away. Otherwise, I might have cracked the shits and gone home. But anyway, double bogey on the last to beat Penn by four strokes and give you your thrower's guarantee, you piece of shit.
Bang, bang.
Oh, no good. But in the wash of all that, Benedict O'Byrne came out on top of Narada, who was looking great for second place. He played a very good tournament. That's some good disc golf.
Narada's going to have to hurry up and get a PDGA membership. Let's be real.
100%.
He's got to, like, I know it's fun that he doesn't, but that's a 9-4-3 event.
Yeah.
You want that counting to something.
Yeah, you do. hole five was his kryptonite. I think he might have taken a double both rounds, if I'm having a look. Yeah, double round one, and I think he finished on them both times. Tough. That's tough going. So, I think that's what cost him second place.
There you go.
No good. But
the other reason,
yeah,
Narada has to get a rating is, look, I know we'll be going to the Victoria update soon, but a little piece of controversy. I'm essentially having to track his rating.
Oh, yeah.
And I made him climb, I don't know, I gave him a massive rating boost based on this event, but it still didn't land him in category one. And, like, of course, he's not actually in category one.
Yeah.
Like, he's where he's meant to be. But, God, if he plays many more 9-4-3 events, he might find himself in category one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he's been playing good. He had that good start in Bendigo, just didn't quite finish it. And two good rounds here, so... look out. He's turned into an actual MA1 disc golfer. Chris Scott, bit disappointing, my tip. Down there in eighth. Just couldn't get it together. Same with Penn. Penn just, I don't know, was just a little bit off when I watched. We're on the same card round soon. And we've got three DNFs. I don't know what Seb's deal was, but I think he had a bit going on outside of disc golf. Yeah. And so he was just like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it back tomorrow. So I think that was known. But Nick Valentin and Tommy Jankar, they were, I'm fairly certain, on a card of three. And Nick pulled out and Tommy kept going. And then a few holes later, I see Tommy also pulled out, leaving, I think it was James Meddings, just on his own. So he ended up jumping in with a card in front, I think. I don't know. Don't tell anyone because that might not be PDGA allowed. But yeah. I don't know. If you're on a card of three, you can't be DNFing. And if someone's already DNF'd, you can't be leaving him as a one. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know the story, but that's you can't be doing that. That's bad.
That card was lacking the vibes, but it looks a thing.
I guess so. Oh, not ideal. Anyway, I talked about my division for too long. What's MP40 looking like?
Look, you called it. You called it. We all called it. We said anyone could win it. You tipped Pote. I tipped Papa Hart. And therefore, Fergie won.
Yeah, exactly. Too good on the golds. That's a nice round.
Yeah.
Round two is good. 941 rated round. Enough to punch him up. Well done. Yeah, Fergs.
Yeah, good stuff. They were all up to it in their eyeballs, though, really. Like, there was one shot separated them on round one. So it was all came down to the Sunday. And, yeah, Fergie got it down. MPO?
Just too good. The only person in the entire field who under par for the weekend, and he was -8. So 9-stroke victory over two rounds is big time. Jade Brady popped down last minute and spanks everyone.
Yeah, absolutely spanks everyone. Nearly 1,000 rated event. Birdies galore. With the double bogey on the original 18 to get 1,000 rated round one, and then 995 or something like that round two, with no double bogeys or worse. You can't say that for anyone else, not even nearly.
No good. Yeah, Paddy Robinson there in second place, one ahead of Leo Dykes. How did Leo go with his ratings update? He get a bit of a jump. I'll just have a quick look at that. +4, 957. All right. Nice. So, yeah, good showing for him after, strong showing in Bendigo, because it drops off pretty aggressively after that to Ryan Johnson, Ryan Hart. Yeah. But something I did not notice on the weekend at all, didn't get a mention. Ryan Johnson with an ace.
Yeah.
Whole
10.
Yeah, that's what it must be, right? That's crazy.
That's a good ace.
I would love to know what line he takes to get there.
Yeah.
That's got to be the aggressive forehand or backhand turnover line, right?
I guess so. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
That's incredible. So, I think Chris Hart might be at $200 out of pocket there. I think he put up $200 of his own cash and in the email said, I'm happy to do it because no one will ace. And that's normally a fair call, but but not today. So well done, Ryan. Yeah, geez, coming down to Queensland, probably not going to make much cash for his fourth place appearance, but a couple $100 will get him home.
Beautiful.
Mikey here there in T7th, but there was a time during that round where he was third place.
Yeah.
And you just sent me a quick little eyeballs emoji. At this stage, like, I'm dropping strokes to pen. My guy has already DNF'd. And I'm just looking at Mikey here, and I'm like, is Chris going to get his fucking Garen won't and his guarantee? Like, I am pulling my hair out at this stage. but, yeah, he started hot. Like, a few of the guys started with bogues, and, he started on hole two or something. So, he had, birdies on 4 and 5 and then 8 and looking good. But eventually, Invali caught up, and still, that's a good showing for Mikey.
It is. It very much is.
Yeah, 9:47 event.
Yeah, the double on one to close out hurt him a little bit. But yeah, he didn't let me down. I called it that. It's crazy, but believable. And there was a big period of time in there where I was like, this is good.
I may have told Nick pretty early in the piece that he was my Garen won't, And I feel like he was cool with it, but at the same time, he was just like, all right. Like, whoops. Obviously, I mentioned that I was going to be staying up there. So we had a bit of a tent city going on. There was a fair few people that camped. And it was a fun night. I brought up some cornhole. We didn't get to the glow golf because it started raining after the round. Nothing crazy, but just enough to be like, nah. But yeah, they kept the bar open pretty late. The footy was on. We were all having a really good time. Got to be pretty late. And there was, it got down to myself, Narada, Nick, Taryn, Brett, and Mike Spangenberg. And I don't know, something happened where I was trying to take my jumper off and started taking my shirt off a bit. And then Mike Spangenberg is just like, oh, we're taking our shirts off. He pulls his off. He's like, oh, I'm 75 years old and I'm shredded. I'm just like, all right, I think that might be our time. We might have to hit the hay. yeah. So no, that was good. They did the ace throw off thing as well. And Timmy Ware and Narada both hit that. So they took home a little bit of cash each as well. So good weekend for both those guys. And yeah, a lot of fun. Invalid Open's always good. It's always a good time. So looking forward to it again next year.
Nice.
All right. Should we have a look at the Victoire leaderboard then?
Let's do it.
Lovely. What are we looking at?
Let's start at the women's again. And podium has not shifted. Hussey has pulled away a little bit further. And I suspect actually that she's potentially maxed out her points.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I think that's quite possibly a max out with some 80s, some 100s or whatnot. It'd be pretty close to a max out. So hard to chase down with the events that are left. Congratulations, Huss. I think you'll take that home.
Very nice. No change at the top four. Cat 5, Tobias Weber still ahead of Roland Weber and Mark Carter. Cat 4.
At four, no change in the top two, but Tim's better family member struggling for the
the better there. Bowen.
The better Bowen. There it is. The better Bowen. That's what I needed. Climbs two spots, finds himself on the podium now. But Chris Scott holding a pretty handy lead in cat four.
In cat three, no changes there either. So Don Carter still on top. Tim Stevens there in second. I think he had a pretty good event at Inverley. Lee Thompson in third and Carey Edwards in fourth. So no change, but I feel like Carey might have got some ground anyway.
Juan, who obviously had a barnstorming event, climbed up 20 positions for just his second event of the tour to jump up into 14th from 34th. Not a bad jump big. There.
Yeah, big. He's right on Picati's ass already.
Yeah. A bit of movement in cat two, though, sir.
Oh, a little bit too much movement. So,
yeah.
Mentioned Nath Parrish has been playing pretty good. Once again, a good event for him, and that's got him up into the number one spot. So, 370 points, pretty far clear now of Penn. So, Nath must have had some trash to drop off. Penn was 5 behind me, he's now 5 ahead of me. So even though I gained some more points on him this weekend, he must have dropped something more trash than what I dropped. So it's going to be spicy. Still a few more events to go. But yeah, really heating up. And then yeah, Sam Sawyer, Mikey Hare, all there as well. Fergie, the only big mover really, up 25 places, but not a factor. Yeah, looking kind of three horse racy.
It really is.
I'm in that. You never want to be the the front in a horse race. You know what I mean?
No,
Melbourne Cup winner doesn't lead the whole way.
No.
Category one, any changes?
Paddy's holding on to the lead. Obviously, used his sixth event, got a second, so that's going to play in pretty nicely. Sitting on 405, followed by, obviously, the man who finds himself on that leaderboard in Ryan Hart. He climbs up from third into second. And Leo Dykes climbs up from fifth into third. So we've got a bit of movement at the podium. But Paddy's looking hard to chase here. It's becoming a bit of a race for third, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, looking quite comfortable there. But, yeah, it is looking a little spicy from the others. Matt Hill even throwing his name into the ring a bit now. Moved ahead of Aiden. Now, looking good. I'm keen. What'll be the next event? I'm trying to think about that. I think the Kingston City Classic, I think, falls under the Victor. So that must be our next event. My next chance to knock Nath off. All right. Should we have a look at a bit of a throwler's guarantee for the weekend?
Yes.
Have you looked into that yet? I have not, but I can look at it right now.
I've had a little peruse. I've loaded up. I might just give this page a refresh. We've got about 24 people or so signed up at the moment for Bicentennial. There's a few things on offer. There's a few things on offer that we may wish to consider. There's
a couple of
names in Div B that I could do a bit of head-to-head action with. There's a couple of names in Div A that I was tempted to do, you know, top half handicap, bottom half handicap. But I'm gonna go with a Cam Ford gamble.
Oh, I love it.
And Div A, I'm looking at those names and I'm trying to think how many Div A scalps can Cam
Ford. Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, can Cam Ford take? And I'm
Wait a second, I'll add my name. My name will be on there in a minute because I keep forgetting to register. So you can factor that in, but I'm a Div A that he can try to scalp.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, would you give me a point for every scalp he takes?
Sure.
So if I said to you he's going to take one scalp, would you say, oh, yeah, I'll give you one for that? Because, yeah, he probably will take one scalp. But if I said to you he's going to take six scalps, would you be inclined?
I'm down for that. I can get around that. I'm fine with that.
And it's quite sadly for me, he's in Div B for a reason. And I can't imagine he's been to Bicentennial, if ever. So there is a world where he takes none, looking at those names. But I'm thinking he might get five or six. So I'll take you up on, I'll take a point for every scalp.
Cool. I'm getting around that. Yep, I got no problem with that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to figure out, yeah, what do I like here then? Not a lot of names. But, let me come back to it because I got nothing right now. I didn't have a good look. Stop it. Let's do something around, I'm going to bet against Brett Bobridge because he let me down so hard last time. So, how do I do that? My goal is to bet against Brett Bobridge. I have no idea who Levi Norton is.
They are very equal in rating.
But Levi Norton will score better than Brett Bobridge.
Beautiful. I'll give you a five for that.
Sick.
Yeah, they basically look like the same player, don't they? No, 8-3-4, 8-30.
Yeah.
I also have no idea who Levi is.
But he's a gun. He's going to definitely beat Brett, I can tell.
Yeah. I'll give you a five for that.
Have you got any Garen Wontz?
Yeah. I hadn't, but I'll give you one.
Yeah, I've got one.
Michael Smith, look, I'm just going to say it. Michael Smith won't win Div C.
One with Div C. There's only three people.
I know, but look at them. Look at them.
I don't know who they are.
Oh yeah. All right. Let me. I'll make it more handsome for you. Michael Smith won't podium Div B.
All right. I'll give you that. He better not be Gunn. I don't know who that is.
He's a 720 golfer. I ran into him at the cafe the other day. Into the cafe at Sunshine. He's an absolute legend. You would know him if you saw him. You know Michael Smith. He comes to the Stony stuff that Sam organizes every year.
Okay. I think it's starting to ring a bell.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can get around that. Mine is Mike van der Linden will have the best score of the day.
Beautiful. Yeah.
He will have the best score of the day.
Karen won't, for sure.
Karen won't. excellent. All right. What was next on my agenda? We don't have too much more. D-Glo. We're punching for time, so we'll quick smash through that. But did you catch any of it? I watched a bit.
Yeah, I watched a bit. And again, it's an early finish on a Monday morning with that being a four-round event again. So I just got to watch like the last few holes at work as we're just kind of building into the week. And
yeah.
Gannon Burr's good.
Yeah, he's good. Right? I think this is – so there's been, I don't know, how many four-day events.
Yeah.
Two of them have been majors. Yep. And all the rest have been regular events. He's won all them.
Yeah, they're called Elite Pluses. He's won every single one Elite Plus.
Insane.
Yeah.
Which is just cream rising to the top.
It really is. It really is. Regression to the mean, as Stokely put on the podcast, and I love it. He had Wysocki chasing him down. He had Wysocki hot on his heels. And Gannon Burr was not fazed, really. Like, Ricky was playing well, but, like, I think a lot of people, a lot of other 18-year-olds given that same opportunity, find a way to choke. And Gannon, like, if Gannon went on to lose that, it was going to be because Ricky shot 18 down. It was not going to be because Gannon let it get away. Like, Gannon was just like, oh, cool, I guess I'll just park this hole then. We can both birdie it, but you ain't getting a stroke on me.
And he's just got no fear. Like, hole 18, he's, what, too clear by this stage. But he threw a roller off the tee, yeah?
Yeah.
On that fairway that's just, like, very narrow.
Yeah.
And it barely stays in bounds. He's like, yep, good job. I'm like, what do you mean, bro? Like, how are you not just trying to, like, chip a forehand and then another one and just take a bogey or something? Like, he's like, nah, I'll just throw a roller because that's my shot. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Crazy. And yeah, Isaac Robertson right there as well in second place, as you mentioned, charging Ricky. Luke Taylor in sixth. Is he real deal?
He actually is the real deal. And I've got to hurry up and tip him. He's had a bunch of top tens. Like a bunch of top tens. Quick look at his 2024 season. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 top tens.
Wow. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
I literally heard his name for the first time at Worlds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, he's like plays a lot of like, you know, in between B tiers and C tiers as well. But when he rocks up and plays the pro tours, he gets top 10.
Big time. Simon back to some good form there in fifth place. He loves his course. He got the win last year, I'm pretty sure.
I tipped him.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I tipped him this year.
Yeah, pretty happy to have him up my sleeve for D-Glo. Happy with that fifth for sure.
Eagle McMahon still staying pretty hot too in eighth place. So if we're starting to see, you know, Eagle and Simon join the likes of Calvin and Ricky that have been there all year, it's going to be that new guard that Gannon, Isaac, sort of new guard is, they're going to have to be fighting off these old boys again.
Yep.
So cool to see. I'm here for it.
For sure.
In the FBO, I didn't really catch any of it. But Holland Hanley with a three-stroke victory over Hayley King, another three-back of Kristen Tatar. So Tatar just seems like she's third every week now.
Yeah, working through some things by the looks of things. Yeah, I think that leaderboard was up and down, mix and match, and a bit all over the shop, to be honest. And yeah, Holland had the hot round to close out. The last two rounds, to be honest, she had a 58 round three, which was the hot round for the field for Holland, which really put her in the mix, and then closed with the 61, which was getting work over the field and, yeah, got her the victory. But after round two, she was, she wasn't even podium, I don't believe.
Yeah, not looking likely.
Rounds. Yeah.
Not looking likely. So, yeah, big fight back from her. That was pretty cool. Did you end up watching the footage of the big collapse from whoever it was last tournament?
It was Holland
Hanley. Oh, it was? Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was brutal.
So she's got her shit back together now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they really, it's harsh. Brody and Yuli go backwards and forwards on this for ages, and it's a hard listen. But God, there's a massive skill discrepancy between what the up and coming NPO are putting out there and the consistency. You know, the way we just spoke about Gannon, and then you compare that to what some of these FBO players are putting out. There's a big gap there.
Hmm. Yeah, not ideal. So hopefully they can clean that up and make a bit more of an entertaining package. USDGC, what, like next week? That's the next thing, yeah? Or MVP Open first?
Geez, don't know. Events. I feel like it's MVP, to be honest. I think it's a little bit of a gap before the next major. I think it might be MVP coming up.
Yeah, cool. I just went on Gannon's page. The Green Mountain Championship is on before that. So, and that's weird. What's the structure now? So I think GMC is the first leg of like the playoffs, and then MVP Open's part of that as well, right?
Yeah.
So how does that shit work? Do you know? Like, so the Green Mountain, not a lot of people can play?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I think it's just name. And I've got no idea. I'm lying.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be lying if I said I knew.
Well, there was 82 people in MPO for GMC and 66 for MPO in MVP, which is like by far contrast from all these other events. Like D-Glo 106. So maybe there is some sort of requirements. So
X amount of points, I don't know, or something. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll look into that for whenever that's on, I guess.
We probably won't, let's be real.
Yeah. all right, let's do some spotlight, not light, close out a long pod. Have you got much?
I don't have much. I'll put out that my spotlight goes to the fact checkers on the debate night.
Funny.
There was, you know, they had to work overtime with some of the nonsense that obviously Donald Trump comes out with. They have to work pretty hard overtime. But my favorite fact check was cast against Kamala Harris. She was not immune to a good fact check, and she threw out in the middle of the debate that Putin would eat Trump for breakfast, and the fact checkers quickly threw up on the screen that to be false, because it'd be definitely more than one sitting.
Look at you go. Look at you go. That stuff was pretty wild. My mate sent me a clip. This was a genuine clip where Trump was talking about some town. They were like immigrants were stealing people's dogs and eating. Yeah.
Nah, wild. Wild.
And the guy's like, nah, that's actually not true. And Trump was like, no, I saw it. Like, all right, sure, my guy. Oh, boy, what are these two going to lead America?
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, my spotlight, I've got honorable mentions that go to Just the top cornhole performance from the weekend. So Brett and Narada were a pretty formidable team. They were knocking people out left, right, and center. But then Mike van der Linden and Simon Farrar came in, and they ran the gauntlet for a while. So there were two strong doubles teams in the cornhole, so they get my honorable mention. But my actual spotlight has to go to the TD, Chris Hart, who made sure that he punched out that event report the very next day so that it was in time for the ratings update. So thank you very much there, Papa Hart.
Coming in clutch.
Coming in clutch. Oh, I must do another funny little... I was talking to Chris's wife and daughter when I was registering, and they were saying how they... and Ryan was right there. They were saying how they were listening to the pod on the way in and were just loving that we were flaming Ryan for his six-putt. They're like, yeah, you got him good. Like... I was like, yes, let's go.
That is good.
All right, what about a not light?
Nah, I'm coming up blank this week. Had it, obviously, oh. I've not been out on the course, and yet don't have a not light for us this week.
I got you covered. I've lost the page. I should have kept it. But Vil, my man, and our number one guy on our Street League team. With another last place performance in MPO. Horrendous showing on the whites. Pretty decent on the golds, I think, but probably not by his standards. But, yeah, good enough for last place in MPO, back-to-back tournaments. But more importantly, negative 11 point drop. So down to 950 rating. Not good. I need more out of him. Definitely need more out of him. Even if we go back to Melbourne Celebrates, that was no good. So his last few tournaments, 8th place, 7th place, 11th place, 12th at the Queensland Open. Where was the guy who came in 9th at the Vic Open? That guy was pretty good. So we need more. We need that back. So not like Gosseville for being pretty trash lately.
This will be the motivation he needs. Well played by you.
Mm. Cool. All right. Well, that's unless you've got something else, that wraps up a long pod.
It does. It does. It didn't help that it was take two, but the listeners don't need to know that. pleasure as always.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.